Hume City Council recognises the rich Aboriginal heritage within the municipality and acknowledges the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung, which includes the Gunnamulla and Balak clan, as the traditional custodians of this land. Council embraces Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander living cultures as a vital part of Australia's identity and recognises, celebrates, and pays respect to the existing family members of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung and to elders past, present, and future. So, welcome, Karen Lovett and Libby McKinnon, to this informal chat about the Mosaic Project, which started back in 2018 and has now resulted in a beautiful series of mosaics that are around Hume. And we've recently just produced a mosaic trail map that's going to lead the community around the sites so people can go and view them in person. So today we're just going to have an informal conversation about the project and reflect on how it came about and our aspirations for what those mosaics might mean to the community in the future. So thanks for coming to chat, Karen and Libby.
No worries.
No
You're
worries.
welcome.
That's all right. So we're going to ask a series of questions, and then, as I said, if you keep the conversation flowing, probably Corey will edit this a little bit. So Karen, firstly, you've been an artist and a teacher for a long time now, but this project was the first time your images have been translated into mosaics. So I wonder, how was that for you?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I'm not teaching anymore, but I'm still a practicing artist. And I can tell you that it was one of the scariest things I actually had to do was to give my images to somebody else to then transform into beautiful art pieces, into mosaic art pieces. So I'm very protective of my artwork. Being an Aboriginal artist, I would never hand over my images for people to use in the way that I allowed Libby to use them. And I can't explain why I did that. I think there was something in Libby that made me feel safe enough to be, for the first time, to be able to hand over those images. And probably too that we were working together. It wasn't that someone was in a higher position than somebody else, or it was work that was done on an even level for everybody. So yeah, I think that's what made it safe enough for me to be able to hand those pieces over.
Yeah, that's really yeah. It felt like an unusual project actually from the beginning like that. But yeah, thank you, Karen, because it's a huge gift to the community to share those designs in the way you have, I think. Yeah, I thought Libby, you've worked with Aboriginal artists and imagery before. And how was working with Karen on this particular project different from that, or in some ways similar? I don't know.
So it's a bit, in a way, it's quite a big question because I have a lot of some like 30 years experience, and so I'm trying to, and most of it is has been working on public art projects with, in most cases, pretty much generally, the design part of the process has been with Aboriginal people or artists. And then generally, a community would be involved in the making of that, or that transformation of that design into a mosaic artwork for public place. And that would always relate to place as well. So it has this circular sort of connection back into the land, which is an important part of the process that I am involved with. So I think I was thinking last night about the projects I've worked on, and most of them came about with a lot of approvals needing to be given by people from either, from the relevant Aboriginal organisations of the place, because it might be regional area, it might be here in the city. And also that there was a big sort of overarching type of approval process, which also involved the design, that would then be translated and then be put into a public place so that authorities and stuff, or, you know, local governments, planning people and cultural people. So I'd say in this case, we didn't have to go through that process. It was left to us as independent artists, who I think really, and yourself, Anna, and I'm not sure what happened at your end at council, but for us to proceed just working from Karen's lono cuts and her status, so to speak, as a stolen generation, artist. And so we could proceed from that point, I think, without too much interference. And it all seemed pretty, as you said, it was all seemed pretty straightforward. And I was moved that Karen trusted me, but then I've had a great sense of, empathy with you anyway, so it was, that was pretty much how we proceeded, that you trusted me. And I realised the extent of your sort of terror or fear, allowing your work to, go out into the world. So the fact is that I think the way that we, the process we went through made that a much easier, easier for you.
I think you discovered, actually, Karen, during the masterclasses, we ran a series of, council ran a series of workshops with community where the mosaics were produced or began to be produced. And during the classes, you discovered that you were both twins. That was a bit of a revelation, I think, in the second class. And I wondered if that had influenced the sort of overall feeling of the project. Yeah.
I'm not sure. There was just something, we were very lucky we clicked. And I don't know if it was because we were twins or the fact that we just respected each other's artistic worlds, I suppose you could say. I'd never done mosaic before. And it was something that I was, wanting to do, but I just didn't know how to do it. So I don't know if it was the twin thing or the fact that sometimes you just click with people. And I'm not a very trusting person because of my lifestyle that I've had. But the trust was automatically there with Libby. As I said before, I think it's because more so that everyone treated everyone as an equal. Like, it wasn't Anna from the council and Libby from wherever and Karen from wherever. Yeah. It was three people that were trying to get the same outcome. And it just fitted. Yeah, I can't explain it, but
It's nice you say that, because I must admit it was my first project with Hume in the role of community development officer, working part-time.
I remember that,
the deep end. Hey, council's working towards a stolen generation marker project, and as a beginning we'd like to run some masterclasses, we've got Karen from who was then teaching at the Indigenous Education Centre. yep. we'd be running them, and then the goal was to gather community that was with in Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander background, but also not, so yep. there's yeah reconciliation agenda there too. And I must admit, I've got a background as a freelance curator, so I guess I went in with that mindset. I realise in hindsight a little bit naively, because thinking this will be fine. And it was I really trusted, you know, both of you as the artists to come up with the content for the classes, what we're going to do. So it was a complete surprise to me, and I must say our department, that we ended up with these beautiful artworks, because we could have easily made something that each person took home, they put on their mantelpiece and they enjoyed with their family. But instead, right from the outset, we had something way more ambitious that ended up in what is now a mosaic trail around of a series of public artworks around him. So I think we were kind of all fortunate in a way, in that we had a sort of an open brief. And I love it that we're launching this mosaic trail in NAIDOC Week, just as Council is also doing this work on a stolen generations marker that will be formally sitting in Hume. So this project is very much connected with that. And I see it as the preamble to the marker itself. So it's been very exciting to see it finally. We had to wait for the new Sunbury Global Learning Centre to be finished, put the last one in.
Which was in just before lockdown.
That's just before lockdown, literally the week, I think, before lockdown. We were allowed to meet in person. That was incredible, actually.
But we were worried we shouldn't sit, maybe we shouldn't be sitting too close to each other when we did sit down.
I remember. Libby, I've got a question here. The mosaics were made with community members across Hume. As I mentioned, some had Aboriginal heritage, others didn't. What do you remember enjoying about the engagement with participants during the making process?
Well, I guess there was a fair bit of, on my part, and Karen's probably on yours, not apprehension, but wondering, anticipation about, you know, how this might work and who might turn up. Because I think I can remember that we wondered if we'd have too many people for a session, because we only wanted about 8 to 10 max for a mosaic art workshop, you know, and how many hours we're going to take and this sort of stuff to do it. And so we ended up, I think, with 5 sessions and in different parts of the city of Hume. And then also we had a time frame for the workshop, which was a couple of hours, was it? Or 3 hours? I can't remember, 3 or 4.
I think it was a couple of hours.
Yeah.
I think it extended out a bit from that once we were there.
We had one weekend session that was longer, I recall.
Yeah.
Sessions were longer.
So anyway, what I was thinking when I wrote a few notes last night, it was, I guess, walking into the situation physically with the meeting the people, the participants. I think there was a sense of eagerness and enthusiasm to engage. Everyone that was there because I think of the stolen generation theme, so to speak. And then there was you, Karen, who was incredibly nervous about initially telling your story, I think in the first session, but you were, that was very moving. And I think the people that were members of Stolen Generation who were there were sort of opened up a bit by that, you know, in the sense that they, I don't think a lot of talk has gone on, you know, has it really, with just people out in the community who might be members of the Stolen Generation but haven't said so. Or and then all the people that work from the Stolen Generation who were there because they really wanted to understand more about people that were members of Stolen Generation, and that was the vibe, you know, that was the sense of how that workshop felt. Mm. So once you told your story, and then there was the explanation of the design that we're working on with that particular group.
Yep.
And I think people were, I think, and in this people did in fact ask questions. We had a bit of a question answer thing going on, didn't we? People did.
Yeah.
Or was that at the end? I can't remember. And then they were excited also because they were going to make a mosaic. So this was the other thing, yeah. In all of that, there were like these different levels of interest that people had. So what else? It was going to go in a public place. I think that was of interest to people as well. And it would be probably in their local area, so that's good. what else? It was part of a series of works that would be placed around the city of Hume. So if my enjoyment of it, having set out some of the parameters, was the, I think there was a lot of things, but, you know, the fact that we managed to complete each of those works in the time frame of the day, and everyone worked so smoothly together, and I'd sort of, we had the, with Karen's lino cuts, which were quite small, I'd literally selected a section of the lino cut and blown it up to about, a metre by a metre or something like that. So it was sort of like an excerpt from your image, because it needed to be quite big because of the amount of people that were going to be working on it during the day.
Yeah.
And then the materials we used were all sort of stuff I'd had in my studio, but I love all my materials, like smalti, which is this beautiful Venetian glass, pebbles, I can't quite remember everything that we used, matter of fact, but yeah, a whole mix of materials, ochres, little pebbly things, a whole miscellaneous bunch of materials that were available for us to put into these works, and everybody worked really well, and then each work came together absolutely brilliantly just in that time frame, didn't it?
Yep.
And everyone enjoyed themselves in the process.
And I think the colours too, the colours of the pieces that you'd picked to put into the artworks were amazing. One of them just came out, so I think it was the kangaroo.
Oh, yes.
Just came out with all these bright colours in it that you probably wouldn't put together on something else. And it just, by the time we finished, it just fitted properly. It just fitted.
Yeah. So. I think it's partly to do with the materials. You can use materials as their own, what's the word? They can link the works in a way by the use of a particular material, but, you know, we've got some smalti in all of them and we've got some pebbles in all of them, but the pebbles might be different sizes or there's just a balance of, which I enjoy with materials. And some of them, like the kangaroo, was just purely smalti, which is a bit extravagant, but it looked fantastic.
So. I think I recall actually that one was interesting because in the class, I think we were using some river stones initially. And then I think that might have been one of the ones that wasn't actually fully completed. And then
there
was a bit of, you had to tweak it a bit artistically, as artists do, artistic license to bring it together so it could be grouted properly.
I didn't grout. Remember, I wasn't grouting the smalti because it's a nightmare to grout. So that one was an inside piece. Anyway, so if they were inside if they're inside, I came to this decision a few years ago. I won't grout works if they're inside, because grouting can work or it can destroy, you know.
Yes.
As an element of a mosaic and
visually, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of cleaning, you know, to get it off the materials, which is a nightmare. So some of them are grouted. The outside ones are grouted. So I, as an artist, I was very, you know, happy to be able to, in fact, I mean, with you, when you have work, people you work with, you can, in fact, experiment because they like working with you.
Yep.
You know, and I'm not saying you have to do it this way. You just, that this is what we have to do and let's see how it works out.
I'd love, in my perfect world, we this conversation would be with some of the participants from the class there because we had a really great groups at each of our centres. There was a group in Sunbury, a group at Broadmeadows at the Indigenous Education Centre, and we had a group in at Newbury at the community centre, and they were all very different and age-wise too. We had a range of different age groups. Some people were practicing artists, some weren't.
And some young people.
Really interested in who came along. And so this, the project, these classes were back in 2018, a while ago now. And they, at the time, we had some really positive feedback afterwards. I think people, as we spoke about earlier on, people felt quite moved. You know, it was obviously, a really kind of personal involvement from Karen, but then to have everyone's creative response come out. I found the classes ended up to be quite an arena for people sharing stories in general, I remember, just sort of life stories, and that lovely process is, as you're using your hands and working side by side, people were chatting and, you know, just sharing information about themselves.
Yeah. It's that sort of time frame as well, you know, you're together for a period of time. And it's a wonderful thing about doing that sort of work with communities, as a matter of fact.
That's right, Well, I've got one last question here about the purpose of public art, because we're Hume has quite a healthy public art budget, and we've got a new creative communities strategy, which includes rolling more projects out into the community, including the new Stolen Generations marker. So I wondered if maybe Karen first would like to think about this question of what's the purpose of public art? Is when something like this is created, is it kind of the residue, like what's left over from a creative event that was then put up? Or do you think it can have some sort of more lasting value?
There is nothing left over about it. It will be definitely lasting value in the community. They will now be turned into reconciliation markers. So what I'm hoping will happen is anyone that works with the City of Hume will... These reconciliation markers will now lead up to the Stolen Generation marker. So I'm hoping that anyone who takes on a job at Hume will actually get to see these pieces before, as part of their induction into the city, working at the City of Hume. They're going to take on a much bigger role than we even thought possible. I think it's important that anyone that works in the City of Hume, anyone that works in the City of Hume should have a good understanding about reconciliation, about Stolen Generations, Aboriginal people that are in the community. And for me, it's a place where people can go and sit, enjoy the beautiful artwork, and have discussions about them.
That's a really excellent note to probably end on. And I'm super excited we've got the trail map now, because in its current form, the map shows all the locations. We've got one at the Indigenous Education Centre, two up at Roxburgh Park, one in Sunbury at the New Global Learning Centre, one in Dallas at the Linda Blundell Senior Citizens Building.
Yep.
And we've got the Kangaroo in Newbury. So there's literally, if you follow the trail, it takes you all over Hume. And where our goal is once the Stolen Generation marker is complete, we'll redo this map so that we end up with the marker and the Reconciliation Mosaic Trail as one map of connecting around the Hume area. So yeah, it's very exciting to get to this point.
I just wanted to say something about that last question, that the fact of the works being, well, one thing just from what you've been saying, with the works being spread around the city of Hume, is that I think I sort of see that, often see things in fragments, which is like, you know, the sort of materials I use, but also conceptually, like, to have these works in different parts of the municipality is like a series of fragments, but as you say, people can visit and they can see the imagery and understand more about Stolen Generation. But the whole thing is, I mean, I just see the whole thing as fragmented anyway, like the Stolen Generation lives of the people who are from the Stolen Generation, and just generally, I think, yeah. So, but these fragments are elements of a larger thing. So, you know, like, you know, what you're saying is that there's going to be this other marker, which, and so they're sort of like just around, they're around, and in fact, everything sort of floats anyway. So they might be permanent looking markers, but they're also conceptually and say sort of, what's the word? Not spiritually, but somehow they also exist, you know, culturally in their own space. Mm. And that's something I've done with all the works that I've been involved with in public places. It's sort of like, yeah, the trails are good because, yeah, so people can come and they can see these things because they may only ever see one of them, but, you know, it's good if there's a trail map or something.
Yeah.
So that people can sort of, I guess they can either enjoy the one they can see or they can get to see all of them.
Yeah.
So that I'm happy about that personally. Whether, when, yeah, with the residue of a creative vendor, can they hold immediate more lasting value in the community? I think that's something that has been debated in the world of community art for years and years and years about process. And is the process more important than the, you know, the end product, or vice versa, means to an end, all this sort of stuff?
I don't think anything will beat the conversation that happened around those tables while we made those pieces. The end pieces are beautiful, they'll always be there. But for people to open up the way they did around those tables, some, as you said, would be for the first time, that's irreplaceable. It's more than what the artwork meant, if that makes sense.
And for you personally, if I can ask, you know, from the moment, you know, from when we began the project to the very end of it, like how you felt by the end of it, from how you'd felt at the beginning?
At the beginning, I was very nervous, not knowing what to expect, not knowing, you know, the trust of everything, to at the end, when I stood back after the day or once the piece was actually filled in, it was pride. It was something that a community got together and did, that we might never be able to have that chance to do that stuff again. So yeah. It was a very proud moment when Anna took us around to see them in some of the places that they were hanging or in the gardens. Up at the homestead, my son's doing horticulture up there now.
Okay.
So every week he gets to see two of his mum's art pieces and gets to talk about them with his friends and his work colleagues. And, you know, so it's, but yeah, it went from something that was probably a little bit of anxiety to something where you stand back and you're really proud of what's been done.
Yeah. Well, thank you both, because it's thanks to your improvisation and professionalism that it's ended up where it has.
So, yes. Yeah. I think experience might be one of the other words.
Yes, experience. But thank you so much for having a conversation about them. And we'll no doubt there'll be more in this space going into next year. But thank you, and see you at the launch, we hope.
When's that supposed to be?
Well, I think in that NAIDOC week in November, there's going to be, at the moment it looks like it's online. I'm just going to end our recording. Hang on.